Hebrews chapter 10. As we stand in honor and reverence of God's word, I'll read just a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 10, and then I'll let you be seated. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19, and we'll read down through verse 25. I'll read quickly. If you'll listen quickly, we'll get through it. Here we go. Verse number 19, Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says this: "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for this time. Lord, I thank you so much for the folks that are here. And what a blessing it is to gather together once again in your name, in your house, with your people. Please bless now as we try to preach and teach what you've put on my heart. And we again ask, God, that you would just move about, speak to our hearts individually according to our need. And we will praise you and thank you and give you the glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. It was mentioned this morning, Brother Tom mentioned this morning in Sunday school, if you were here, talking about, you know, when you're driving down the road Sunday morning, going to church, and you're meeting everybody, and you're meeting the boats, and you're meeting the this and that, and, you know, there are church parking lots full of people on Sunday morning, but a lot of people aren't going anywhere, not going to church. A lot of Christians aren't going to church regularly, and, you know, we have here in the book of Hebrews, by the way, it's... Here in chapter 10, we see these words and this challenge. And right before chapter 11, and we know chapter 11 is famous for being the Faith Hall of Fame, or the faith chapter of the Bible. And we have this in chapter 10, just before that great deal of history in chapter number 11, telling about God's people and how faithful they were and what they did and how God blessed them and used them. And so God gives us this challenge in chapter 10 leading up to this. And for me, when I read this, it's challenging me to be faithful. And then not too many verses later, I begin to read about all these people were so had so great faith and how God blessed them. That really challenges my heart and makes me want to do more, want to do better, want to be better. And so we see here in chapter 10, and I want to go back in just a little bit and kind of give us a framework of what we're really seeing here. The Bible here, Paul is writing and he's talking, and I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know if everybody agrees with me. It's kind of up for debate. And I wouldn't argue with anybody, but there's some things in here that sound like Paul. And so whether he wrote it or not, there's disagreement on that, so on and so forth. But regardless of who wrote it, God did. God inspired it to be written, whoever wrote it. But we are reminded about our high priest. I made mention of that this morning just briefly in the message today. But we get a kind of a history of the high priest in the earlier verses of chapter 10 here. And the writer is giving a comparison of the blood of bulls and goats and how they could not forever sanctify those who came to the altar. And we know that Jesus came and he made the final offering for sin and he shed perfect blood. He shed his own blood, the final sacrifice for sin. The Bible says in verse 12 here, chapter 10, we didn't read that, verse 11 says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Now, God never intended for the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves. He never intended for those to take away sins. What that did was basically covered that sin until Jesus were to come to be the final sacrifice. And so God saw the sin, but it was covered by blood. And the Bible says that that almost all things, what's the verse? Almost all things are by blood. I'm sorry, I've lost it. I think it's in the book of Leviticus chapter 17. That's okay, it'll come back around. But every high priest standeth daily, oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over and over can never take away sins. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice. So these priests daily, over and over and over and over and over, the same sacrifice, over and over. I mean, and they could never take away sin. But Jesus came once. Amen. Once for all. Amen. Once for all. He shed his own blood. His one sacrifice for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I believe in eternal security. I believe when I got saved on October 16th, 1994, that I was saved forever. I believe it. I believe in eternal security. I do not believe that you can lose your salvation and have to get it again. I believe that we are sealed, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. By the Holy Spirit. And we are forever sanctified. We're forever perfected. I talked this morning just briefly about the righteousness that we receive. At the moment we got saved and the moment we received Christ as our Savior, we became righteous in the sight of God because of His Son. Because His Son's righteousness was placed upon us, we became righteous in the sight of God Almighty. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's only one way to get sanctified. There's only one way to get perfected. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Placing our trust in his blood. Grace by faith. And so we come down here to verse number 19 where we were reading, understanding these things that Jesus came and he shed his blood once for all. The Bible says again, verse 19, having therefore brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have access to the throne room of God. We have access to God. If you go back and you look at the history of the kings, especially the nations, the enemies of God, those kings, how they ruled, and even the kings of Israel and the kings of God's people, you just didn't walk up to the king. You didn't just have free access to walk up to the king. And we're talking about the sacrifices and the tabernacle and the holy place. You just didn't walk up there. You just didn't go in there. But now through Jesus Christ, we have access. That's why I said this morning that God says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have boldness. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a new and living way. It's not the old way anymore. Amen. You know, I know people who are part of groups of religious organizations, and they hold on to the Sabbath and the keeping of those Old Testament laws for their salvation. Christ fulfilled all of that. Amen. He fulfilled the Sabbath. He fulfilled all of that law, and he put it to rest. And we now have a new covenant built upon better promises. It's a better covenant built upon better promises, he tells us. And so we have now boldness. We can have boldness to enter into the holiest. Only one man once a year could do that. The high priest. And the Bible says, and not without blood. If he goes in there without blood, he would die. And tradition tells us that they would even tie a string or rope on the high priest's leg. So if he were to die in there, at least they could drag him out. That's how pure God is. That's how holy that place was. Even at the time when that Ark of the Covenant was not there, remember it was taken through war and through battle. It was taken. Other nations would have that Ark and people died. Remember Uzzah? Doing a good thing. They were transporting it the wrong way. They had it on a cart instead of the Levites carrying it. They're supposed to have staves in it. You know, it's supposed to be the right way. Well, they decided to put it on a cart and be more efficient or whatever. And the thing, the oxen tripped or whatever, and the ark tipped, and Uzzah put his hand up. What happened? He died immediately. You can't touch that thing. You didn't have access then. Thank God we've got boldness. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. So the writer says, therefore, because of all these things, therefore, brethren, we have boldness to enter. And having an high priest in verse number 21 over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And it says, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession. Let us draw near in verse 22 and let us hold fast the profession of our faith in verse 24. And let us consider. Let us. You know, why would the writer say that? Because we're prone not to do those things. Why do we have to be reminded again and again and again that we have to do things? Because we're prone to wander. We're prone to forget those things. We're human beings. We have this human body, this human mind, this human flesh. Even though the Spirit of God resides in us, we still have this body of flesh. We still have this mind that we have to contend with and deal with. God has saved us. God has redeemed us. But we're not. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not yet what I'm going to be one day. One day I'll drop this veil of flesh. One day I'll drop this old corruptible body. And I'll take on, the Bible says, and I'll put on incorruption. I'll leave this mortality and I'll put on immortality. That's going to happen one of these days. Whether it be by the rapture or if I go to the grave, I'm going to leave this behind. And I'm going to have something better. So he says, let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And then he says, let us consider. And I want to talk about that one this evening. Let us consider one another. We've got lots of responsibilities as the children of God. There's lots of things that we need to do. We need to draw nigh to God. We need to hold fast our profession and take that out to a world around us. But then he says, let us consider one another. So I want to talk tonight about this, don't neglect the gathering. And here it is, Sunday night, and you're here. So I'm not preaching at you. But I'm reminding us how important it is to not neglect the gathering. Here in verse 24, the Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, I know that's not the end of that sentence. There's a colon there, and it continues on in verse number 25. But I want to stop and think about this section of it. When we come to church and we are taking part in the service of God in our local church, we are considering each other. It's not even for us. It's for one another. Amen. Why? Because when we come to church and we're faithful and we're obedient, we are going to encourage someone else. And not only encourage them, we provoke them. Now, a lot of times the word provoke is in a negative connotation. You provoke someone to anger. You provoke someone to do something that maybe they shouldn't do. What is it now? Peer pressure. That's kind of is provocation. Someone comes and tempts you with something that you wouldn't normally do. They're provoking you. But here, to provoke, that just means to encourage someone. Encourage them. And so, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of believers who were struggling in their faith. And they were under persecution and they were being tempted to walk away and to fall away from what they believed. And the writer reminds them that faith is not meant to be lived in isolation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And that's not one person. That's a group of people. And Paul wrote again to the book, the church in Corinth. And he said, you are a body fitly framed together. You fit together just right. When everybody's there and everybody's doing their part and everybody's faithful, you're fit together like a body, like a building. And of course, we know that the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a strong and firm foundation. But God builds upon that foundation, and He builds a church and He builds a body. And we are to come and be faithful and to be mindful of one another. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see a command, we see a warning, and we see an encouragement about the importance of gathering together as God's people. We need to consider one another. You know, the Christian life is not self-centered. It's not inward. The Christian life is outward. What God put in us, we're to give it out. The light that we have in us, the life that we have in us, we're to put it out. We're to display it. Oh, what was the parable that the Lord gave about if you have a candle, you don't hide it under a bushel. You let the world see it so it might light those in darkness. And that's why he left us here. If there was nothing for us to do on this earth as God's people, he might as well have just taken us home the instant we got saved. But he calls us to serve him, and he calls us to live in this life and be ministers of him to this world around us. And that's nothing new. I know we all understand all of that. But to encourage us this evening, we come to church in consideration of one another.
Amen.
Not even just for me. Now, when we come to church, God does things for us personally and individually. But when we come together, it's for one another.
Yes.
as part of it. Let us consider one another. When you consider something, that's not just a flippant thought that flies through. When you consider something, that means you take time and you think about it. You think about the ramifications. You think about the details. You think about the right and the wrong, the good and the bad of these decisions. That's when you consider something, it takes time. It takes effort. So we are to consider one another. We are to think carefully about how my activity, how my faithfulness or lack thereof is going to affect my brother or sister. How it's going to affect my family. Then we are to provoke one another. And the word there that our word provoke comes for is really talks about stirring up. It's kind of like a fire that's maybe kind of died down. Maybe we get in there with a stick and we poke around on it, or we blow on it. Now don't go up in your brother or sister's face and just blow in their face. But that's really what that word literally means. We're to stir them up. There may be just a spark left in someone's life. There may be just a little ember in there somewhere. But we're, one of the purposes of us coming together and fellowshipping and worshiping together is to encourage someone to stir that up.
Yes.
Blow on that ember a little bit. Stir around a little bit and provoke. Provoke life to come. Provoke light to come. We're to provoke one another. Provoke unto love and to good works. So we ought to ask ourselves, who am I encouraging in their walk with Christ? And by the way, you being here is encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's encouragement to your family.
Amen.
Staying faithful. Coming to church is not just about what I receive, but it's also about what I can give.
Amen.
And people see and people notice and people get encouraged by the faithfulness of others. And today it might be you doing the encouraging. Next week it might be you needing the encouraging. And so we have to be faithful not only for our own relationship with God, but we need to be faithful to help others in their relationship with God. And that's why church is such a blessing. The church family is so important. So we need to consider one another. And then don't forsake the assembly in verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And we'll stop there again. Not forsaking the assembly. The word forsake means to put away with malice or to walk away from. When we forsake something, we put it down never intending to go back. That's kind of the connotation of that word. When we forsake something, we lay it down, never intending to go back to it. And some have done that. Some believers, some children of God have done that. They've gone, they've gotten out of church, they've gotten away from God, and they really don't have any intention of going back. You've met people like that. I've met people like that. We've got people like that in our family. Now, we do go through times in our life. We do go through low times. We do go through struggles in our life. And sometimes we may even get out of church for a while. But aren't you thankful that even if we do, first of all, we have a Savior.
Amen.
We have an Almighty God who loves us, and He will be patient with us. He is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. I'm not saying you should get out of church. I'm not saying you should do that. But if that happens, if life comes in on us and things get heavy for us, and that happens, God is faithful. And God is forgiving. And if we will give it room, and if we will give Him space, God will bring us back around. But it's very important that we... us others, when there are maybe those going through those struggles, that we remain faithful and we remain encouraging. You know, I know you're going through a hard time, brother. Sister, I know it's been rough. And I know you don't feel like it. I know it's hard. But we're here. And God's still here. And we love you. And God loves you. And that can make all the difference. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. Gathering together as a church, that's where we hear from God's Word. Now, we can hear from God's Word independently at home in our own Bible study with our own family. We can do that. But there's just something special about being together.
Amen.
And hearing God's Word. We're worshiping together. You can worship on your own, but isn't it wonderful to be able to worship together in one accord, in one spirit, in one mind? And gathering together strengthens our faith. It strengthens our faith. If we isolate ourselves, even though we're reading our Bible, even though we're praying and have a relationship with God, if we're isolated and we never get together with God's people, we never join ourselves together, I can attest that it's true. Because I've gone through a time. You can be reading your Bible. You can be talking with God. You can have a relationship with God. But something is missing. God intended for us to be together. Do you know in the animal kingdom? In the animal kingdom. God created. You know, man is the only one of God's creation that doesn't do what He intended for them to do. You know, everything else, and this is kind of funny, God looked at the animals and God looked at the sun and the moon and the stars and everything, He said, it's good. You know, He never said that about after He made man? That's just kind of a funny thing, but do you know animals, God created them that when there's danger? I raised sheep for a while in junior high into high school and through high school, raised sheep for a while. If there is a storm or danger that comes, sheep, usually they'll all huddle together. Lots of other animals will do that together. Fish in the ocean. What is it? Mackerel that the whales or the killer whales or whatever. The mackerel, they get in these huge, huge schools. I forget what they call them now. But what they get in a big ball. And they just go round and round and round and round. And they try to mix up. They gather together. Water buffalo do that. Bison, American bison do that. Lots of other animals do that. When stress comes and problem comes and danger comes, what do? They group together. That's why that COVID thing that happened several years ago was so devastating to our country. Why? Because it drove us apart. And you know that a lot of churches never came back? A lot of churches never came back. Many churches disbanded because people got used to staying home. They got used to watching it or listening to it on YouTube or on whatever. They just didn't come back. Well, I can listen to the message at home. I don't even have to get out of my pajamas on Sunday morning. I can sit and drink my coffee and listen to the message at home. I don't even need to go to church. That's not how God intended it. God intended it for us to come together. That's why he calls it a church. It's a group. It's a body of believers. It strengthens our faith. A coal taken out of a fire will eventually grow cold. And there will be no heat. There will be no light. There will be no life. And a believer who isolates themselves from church will soon lose something. You'll lose some warmth. You'll lose some light. You'll lose some life. Because God intended us to meet together. It weakens us. And we can't be weak in the day and age in we live especially. So don't forsake the assembly. Then exhort one another all the more. Verse 25, the second half of verse 25. But exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Yeah. Exhort one another. That means to encourage, to comfort, and to lift one another up. Sometimes we do come to church. Sometimes Sunday mornings are tough. You know, we raised four children and we spent 2.5 years on deputation. If you know what deputation is, missionaries go on deputation trying to raise funds. We spent 2.5 years on the road. When we come back to Missouri, we stayed with my parents, but we spent a lot of time in a vehicle. We stayed in hotel rooms and we stayed in homes and sometimes we stayed in the vehicle. But that was a time of growth for us. That was a time of challenge, but it was also a time of growth. But we were in it for the long haul. And God used that for us. To encourage, to comfort, to lift one another up. And he says, so much the more. We even should see that it's even more important knowing and seeing the day approaching. The closer we get to Christ's return, it's more and more and more important that we grow and gather together. The world is getting darker. But the church, we need to stay strong. Someone gave this analogy, a preacher gave this thought or this illustration years and years ago, I remember. He said, you know, it used to be that morality in society as a whole maybe used to be here. And the church morality was here. But as society as a whole, its morality has gone like this. The church has gone like this. Yeah. We maybe have stayed parallel, but the church in general is now where the world was 50 years ago or 30 years ago. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because church isn't important to a lot of people anymore. And it has its consequences. And we see it in the world around us. God calls his people to gather together for strength and protection. Every time we come to church, we are reminded of hope. And we are being prepared for the Lord's coming. We're not just attending a service. What did you say this morning, Brother Tom? You said you call it Sunday school. What was it that the lesson said? Sunday gathering?
Yeah, church gathering.
Welcome to Sunday gathering. I don't like that either. Welcome to church. Thank God. Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for coming to Sunday school. We're not just attending a service. We're preparing for eternity. Because God has begun a good work in you. God has begun a good work in me. And he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so God is working on us. God has an intended purpose for us. an intended end for us. And part of that is our fellowship and our relationship with our local church, with our body of believers. And if we're not here, we're missing that part of it. And God is performing something in us, but how much, and I'm not saying that we necessarily can limit God, but how much, if we want to use that term, how much do we limit God, or how much more difficult do we make it for God when we're not obedient in one part of His plan for us? And I know sometimes, I'm not trying to browbeat everybody. I know sometimes you can't come to church. I know there's work. I know there's other responsibilities. I understand all that. I'm not trying to say you better be here every Sunday. You know, I'm not trying to say that at all. I understand. But I believe it's the intent. Brother Bill, bless his heart. He would be here if he could. My wife, she would be here tonight if she could. We're working on getting her schedule changed around. She's working on it. She got Wednesday nights off. She's able to be here Wednesdays going forward. Praise the Lord for that. Brother Warren's believing it. She's going to get it.
Yes, I'm praying for it.
Praying for it. So I understand life happens. Things happen. I'm not trying to be that person. But what I am saying is if we intentionally say, just forget it. I got better things to do. That's when problems arise. We're not just attending a service. We are preparing for eternity. God is working on us to make us into the image of His dear Son, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And boy, I've got a ways to go, I'll tell you. And I need all the help I can get. And if me make a decision to stay out of church, if I do that, I am limiting. I am changing the way that God wants to work in me. And I'm hurting not just myself. I'm hurting everyone around me. So here's the conclusion. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 through 25 reminds us that we are to care for others. Consider each other. Encourage each other. Care for others. Commit to the assembly. And continue in hope. Because when we exhort one another, we're encouraging hope. We have hope. This world is rough. Our country's in a mess. But we have hope. We have a Savior. We have a living God who's still in control. He's still on the throne. No matter what's going on in the Middle East, no matter what's going on in Washington, D.C., no matter what's going on in Jefferson City, no matter what's going on down the street here in Columbia, God is still in control. He still knows what's going on, and He still knows how to protect us and how to get us where He intends us to be. But we have to do our part. We have to be obedient. We have to be faithful. And when we do, I believe, and you all are, obviously, but when we continue to do that, we'll continue to see God move and work, and we'll continue to see the blessings of God. God is answering prayers here for Northwood Baptist Church. God is doing things for people here at Northwood Baptist Church. I'm just getting a glimpse of it. I've just been here a little while, but I'm seeing how God is moving and working in people's lives and encouraging people. And I'm so thankful for that. I am so very thankful for that. Care for others. Commit to the assembly. Continue in hope. I hope that's a blessing to you tonight.